Chapter 3 Types of Prayers. I was born and raised as a Catholic, and I still am. I can still remember in school, I was taught about the different types of prayers, and in order to recall them easily, my teacher said just to remember the word ACTS. A-C-T-S. The letter A for adoration, or the prayer of praise. The letter C for contrition or confession. The letter T for thanksgiving or the prayer of gratitude. And the letter S for supplication or the prayer of petition. This is actually a pattern of prayer which you can follow. And to a lot of people, this works well. Sometimes I do follow it and sometimes I don't. There are times when I just feel like praising God and other times I just feel like thanking Him. There are also times I am so sorry for something I have said or done that I just feel like apologizing to Him and asking for forgiveness. The times when I do follow the ACTS pattern, I don't really follow it exactly. Personally, I prefer to do the CATS instead of the ACTS. Not because I'm an animal lover, but I just feel that I can praise Him better when I have cleared my heart. Let me discuss the types of prayers one by one, starting with the letter A in ACTS, which stands for adoration, or what is also called the prayer of praise. Adoration, praise, worship. They are very similar, and it's hard for me to tell the difference. They tend to overlap. The Bible is full of instructions to praise God. For example, in the first book of Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 25, it says, "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised." Psalm 150, verses 1 and 2 say, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His surpassing greatness." So learn to praise God and discover the secret of how to lift up your spirit and rise above your problems. Praising God will do wonders for your life. It will enable you to see through all your disappointments, unfulfilled desires, and shattered dreams from a true perspective. You will feel good more often. Things won't look as bad as they seem to be. You will experience the presence and peace of God. What is praise? The word praise, according to Webster's dictionary, means to commend, to applaud, to magnify. What does it mean then to praise God? A simple definition is given by Ruth Myers in her book, 31 Days of Praise. She said that to praise God is to admire God for who He is and what He does. Hence, there are two basic components of praise. One is pure praise, which means exalting and magnifying God for His attributes and virtues alone, while the other is thanksgiving, that is, being grateful and thanking God for what He has done and what He does for you. What happens when you praise God? Psalm 22, verse 3 says that God inhabits the praises of His people. This means that praising God brings you to His presence and power. What better way to illustrate this truth than through the story of Paul and Silas in Acts 16? Both were arrested, severely beaten, and imprisoned. Their bodies were hurting, and their feet were fastened in stocks, and so they were unable to move. Their situation was further worsened by the depressing atmosphere of a dark, damp, and stinking prison. One would think that the last thing they would think of doing was to pray and praise God. But that was exactly what they did at midnight, and suddenly there was an earthquake. The prison door swung wide open, and Paul and Silas, as well as all the other prisoners, were released from their bondage. Their praises unleash the mighty power of God. You may never be in a situation in which Paul and Silas were in, but mounting problems may weigh you down. You may feel you are stuck and unable to move on, and your emotional pains may be too much to bear. But don't despair. Instead, try to praise God, because when you do, you focus your attention on Him and you remember the good things He has done for you, and how great, how generous, and how merciful He has been to you. then you begin to look at your problems in a new light and realize how little they are compared to a mighty and powerful God. This may not happen right away, but just continue to praise Him. Oftentimes, He will manifest His presence in a special way. You will feel His warm embrace, or experience joy welling up from your heart, or feel a certain lightness, as if a heavy burden has been lifted from your heart. There will also be times, however, where you will not feel anything at all, but this doesn't mean He is not present. In whatever way He chooses to manifest His presence, one thing is certain. When you praise Him in both the best and worst times of your life, your faith will be renewed or strengthened, and you will rise above any problems that may come your way. What if you don't feel like praising God? Cultivating a lifestyle of praise can be a long and difficult journey, and there will be times when you won't feel like praising God. Hence, as you embark on this journey, ask God to lead you each and every step of the way. You certainly cannot do it on your own. The devil will try on trying to divert you from praising God for obvious reasons. Satan will always attempt to keep your attention focused on things other than God. But remember, you have God on your side. Ask Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit, and He will surely enable you to praise Him. You don't have to deny or repress your negative thoughts and feelings. You can follow the example set by David and other psalmists. First, they praise God. Then, they expressed their problems and poured their hearts out. And afterwards, they went back to praising God again. So every time you feel the blues, and you don't feel like giving thanks and praise, do it just the same. For those who are just starting their praise journey, you can simply say, "Praise the Lord," or "I praise you, Almighty Father," or "I praise you, Lord Jesus," over and over and over again. Then tell God what's troubling you, and then praise Him again. In time, you'll notice that you will feel like it more often. Your praising will become more spontaneous. Instead of just saying, "Praise the Lord," you will find that there will be more and more words of praise coming from your heart. Speaking words of praise is not only the way to praise our Almighty God. The Psalms give us various ways. You can dance, lift your hands, sing songs of praise. Praising can also be quiet and meditative. Do whatever you feel most comfortable with. If you like, you can do what I do when I praise God. As I mentioned earlier, focus on who He is and what He has done in your life. When beset with financial problems, for instance, focus on God as the great provider and refer to what Paul said in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 8, where he said, "And God is able to give you more than you need, so that you will always have all you need for yourselves and more than enough for every good cause." Apply these words to yourself. Replace the word "you" with "I" or "me." So say, "I praise you, Father, for you are able to give me more than I need, so that I will always have all I need and more than enough for every good cause." Repeat these words as many times as you want, and then recall the times in your life when you experience His great providence. Here are a few more examples. If your problem is about poor health, then focus on God as a divine healer. Refer to the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verse 26, which says, "I am the Lord, the one who heals you." Apply these words to yourself and say, "You are the Lord, the one who heals me." If your problem is about losing faith in God, then focus on God who is faithful. Refer to Paul's letter to the Romans, which says, "He is able to make you stand firm in your faith." Or you can also refer to Psalm 36, verse 5, which says, "Lord, your constant love reaches the heavens. Your faithfulness extends to the skies." Again, apply these words to yourself and say, "Lord, you are able to make me stand firm in my faith." Or you can also say, "Lord, your constant love reaches the heavens. Your faithfulness extends to the skies." If you are overburdened, focus on God who carries our burdens and refer to Psalm 68, verse 19, which says, "Praise God, who carries our burdens day after day." Apply these words to yourself and say, "Praise God, who carries my burdens day after day." If you are afraid, focus on God as our protector. Refer to Psalm 91, verses 2 and 4, which say, "You are my defender and protector. He will cover you with his wings. You will be safe in his care. His faithfulness will protect and defend you." Apply these words to yourself and say, "Lord, you are my defender and protector. You will cover me with your wings, and I will be safe in your care. Your faithfulness will protect and defend me." Strive to lead a lifestyle of praise. Make praising a part of your prayer life. It takes discipline and commitment, and yet the rewards are great. There is nothing more joyful than being in the presence of God. Praise God everywhere, not only in church, but at home, at work, in the bus, in your car, or anywhere you may be. Praise Him when you're sad and happy. Praise Him when you're sick and physically fit. Praise Him in all circumstances. Another type of prayer is contrition. Contrition or confession, as a type of prayer, I'm not referring to the sacrament of reconciliation, is admitting to God the things that we have done wrong and seeking forgiveness for them. It means to openly and honestly admit our sins instead of hiding it or offering excuses for it, as in this verse from Psalm 32, verse 5, which says, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." Remember the old cliche, "Confession is good for the soul"? It's true. Do you recall the time when you sincerely apologized to someone you have done wrong and he or she accepted your apology? Didn't that feel good? Didn't you feel lighthearted afterwards? It's somewhat similar with asking God for forgiveness because you have sinned. Sin keeps our harmonious relationship with God from continuing. Confession restores that harmony. But some of us don't really confess our sins frequently or easily. It may be easier for us to pray for what we want, or even to thank God for His blessings. But with confession, there seems to be no urgency. Why, I wonder? Perhaps because sin in itself doesn't really make us physically sick, so we can delay it, or even ignore it for the time being. Can you imagine it if every time we sin, we will immediately have a severe headache, which would not go away until we confess? We are not perfect, so we sin. The Apostle John encourages us to confess our sins in this verse from the first letter of John, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. "If we say that we have no sins, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Take note that John said all unrighteousness. Hence, no sin is too big for God not to forgive. He is faithful, and He is always ready to forgive if we are truly sorry for the wrong we have done. God also wants us to be specific about our sins, not generic, as in these passages from Daniel, chapter 9, verses 4 to 6. "I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, Ah, Lord, great and awesome God, keeping covenant and steadfast love with those who love you and keep your commandments, we have sinned and done wrong, acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land." I must admit that there was a time in my life when I confessed just to confess, or because I had to do it. The result? I committed the same sins over and over again, Obviously, this is not the type of contrition I'm talking about here. Rather, it is that kind of repentance brought about by sorrow, because you know you have sinned against God who loves you and who is so kind and generous with you. It is not the kind of sorrow you feel because you were caught or you fear being punished. True contrition is being genuinely sorry for what you did with the firm intention of never to do it again with God's help. The contrite heart is intent on moving away from sin and becoming obedient to God. Just listen to what God promised those who obey Him. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 9 to 10 say, "And the Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and the fruit of your soil. For the Lord again take delight in prospering you, just as He delighted in prospering your ancestors, when you obey the Lord your God by observing His commandments and decrees that are written in the book of the law, because you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Turning to God with all your heart and with all your soul. This is what true contrition is. It takes more than a half-hearted effort to avoid sin. It takes your heart and soul, your whole heart and soul. You cannot do it all by yourself. You need God to help you. I once had what I call a nagging sin. It just kept on coming back. It was like an addiction that no matter how hard I tried not to do it, I couldn't help myself. And temptations to do it again seemed to be haunting me endlessly. Finally, I cried out to God and I asked Him to help me because I couldn't fight this battle alone. One day, I was driving to work and all of a sudden, I started crying and a genuine sorrow pervaded my heart. I started saying, "I'm so sorry, Lord. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Forgive me." I think this is one of the best prayers I have uttered in my whole life. I realized that I kept on sinning because something was missing. True contrition. That short but heartfelt prayer changed me. Since that day, that nagging sin was no more. God started to arrange certain life situations which enabled me to avoid the temptations of sin. Through His Holy Spirit, I was able to harness that firm resolve not to do it again, because I love God, and He loves me, and I will never, ever again deliberately offend Him. Another type of prayer is thanksgiving. It is also a type of praise. We thank God not just for what He had done, but for who He is. We thank Him for His love and mercy. We thank Him for answered prayers. We thank Him for others. We thank Him for His provisions. We are to give thanks for and in everything, in every circumstance, experience, life situation. Nothing should lie outside the scope of our thanksgiving. In Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 18, he wrote, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." If you truly want to follow God's will, then give thanks in all circumstances. Impossible, some may say, but not to those who have faith in God. Thanksgiving is a profound spiritual activity, and without faith, it would be difficult to give thanks in everything. It is the faith which helps us to see that in circumstances which we perceived as bad or negative or painful, there is a blessing and an opportunity to grow, and therefore we should be thankful. It is the faith which helps us to see that as a door closes, another one opens, that for every ending, there is a beginning. I give thanks for all my financial challenges, for they taught me how to live within my means and distinguish between what I want and what I need. I give thanks for all the failed relationships which broke my heart, for they taught me what true love is. I give thanks for plans which never materialize, because they made me realize I was heading for the wrong direction. I give thanks for the times that I doubted God, for they made me closer to Him. I give thanks for prayers not granted, for they made me look closely at my prayer life and encouraged me to record this audiobook. The following chapter will deal specifically with the letter S in Acts, which is supplication or the prayer of petition.